12. So many stupid songs. We are always in the process of catching up to the future. Only when we get there, it's never what we imagined. Sometimes, just once in a while, it's better. A long time after these meetings on the rooftop of a hotel in London on a cold January day, Martha Einkorn had watched Badger Bywater irritate Lenk Skatlish by bringing their own straw to an expensive party. Of course, Badger Bywater could do what they liked, sipping insouciantly through that glass straw with all the family money in the world to protect them. Albert Dabrowski could do what he liked to a certain extent, too, since everything had already been taken from him. He was at the party on the rooftop, giving his liver less punishment than it looked like. Most of the fruit punches were straight fruit juice. They all wanted to keep clear heads, and Albert's liver wasn't as young as he used to be. Selenomic was playing the game, of course, as she'd played it cleverly and well, for 5 long, boring years. But none of them were in quite as precarious a position as Martha. Even to justify coming to London for this, she'd had to volunteer to take on some boring-as-shit sponsor events like Fantail as a survival tool. The raindrops fell on the roof. She checked her thin screen. It was time. Martha had the dull sense of duty, of lonely, necessary responsibility that she had all the time these days. She took the elevator down to her boring event. Martha had done her internet searches about Lai Zhen before the event, of course. Lai Zhen was mesmerizing, hilarious, charismatic. Of course she was. 2.8 million people wanted to be her friend. Martha had learned to be cynical about charismatic people. Lai Zhen would almost certainly turn out to be a self-obsessed, narcissistic jerk. Still, it was worth meeting Surly Survivor. After what Fantail had done in the fall of Hong Kong, Martha had always wanted to meet people who'd survived it, and Lai Zhen might turn out to be useful somehow. There is a thing in human life that can never be predicted or controlled. It is dangerous and terrifying. It destroys your life and fucks up your plans. That's why there are so many stupid songs about it. Lai Zhen took the hand of Martha Einkorn. She was charming and funny. She was witty and self-deprecating. Their palms met. It was like an electricity waking up inside Martha. Oh, shit, thought Martha. This is not the time for this. But there's no way to really know what's going to arise next. She was out of practice, but she'd seen Lenk do this often enough, with his various wives and mistresses, his baby mothers, and his side pieces. It wasn't hard. He let slip little vulnerabilities about himself. He made suggestive remarks. A part of her, inside her mind, was saying, "This is really not the moment for this inner lake to unfreeze. Thank you. Stay frozen, please, just for the next few months. Just stay frozen." But the part of her that had seen Lenk do this before took the hotel key from her pocket and pressed it into Zhen's hand as she saw Zhen's pupils dilate, as she thought, "I'm so fucking out of practice at this, I've forgotten where all the bits go." But this is the thing humans do. "Knock, knock," says one, "can I come in?" And though there's no reason at all to let someone in, though it'd be safer and more sensible and involve less reorganizing of plans to keep the door closed, this is what we're like. We give someone our hotel key. She woke before Zhen that first morning, looked at her still sleeping face. Was this even possible? She was, what, 11 years older than Zhen? People made things like that work, but could she? Really? She barely slept all night for the strange presence of another person in her bed. She'd lain stiff and afraid, a strange and terrible dawn breaking inside her. Zhen muttered in her sleep, something in Chinese that sounded like bobui, and Martha thought, "Oh, but I want to. It is morning again, and I'm standing in the sunshine at last." Her face turned toward the sun, and she felt the touch of its warmth. She closed her eyes. Once upon a time, her father had left her alone in a cold, dark wood, close to sunset, and one way or another, no matter where she went, she had stayed alone in that forest for the whole of her life. She listened to Zhen breathing. It didn't matter what happened next. She'd finally felt something. She had a webcam set up to watch her guinea pigs back in California. The housekeeper took care of them every day. There they were, in their castle, Nutmeg wandering over to the hay bale for a nibble, Toe Pocket, named because she liked to stick her toes into the pocket of her blanket, obviously, sleeping in one of the upper rooms. In bed that morning, in London, she watched their nocturnal movements on her tablet. They were extremely sweet, and suddenly the demands of an intense job and the affection of guinea pigs wasn't enough. Would never be enough again. Shit. Sela messaged her that day. She said, level with us. That wasn't a casual thing, was it? And Martha had thought of saying it was. It could be. Zen could turn out to be a shithead. But she knew it wasn't casual for her anyway. Albert said, well, shit, congratulations, darling. They talked now via private message using pre-agreed pseudonyms on a knitting board, and then on a deep-sea diving board, and then on a board for people living with diabetes. The board moved once a week. They'd memorized 6 months' worth when they met in person. Badger said, I want to meet her. Albert said, my God, we all want to meet her. Badger said, yeah, but seriously, we're really close now. Sella said, I think that's a good idea. I'm not saying we need to check her out, but we are really close now. So fine. Badger met Jen in New Zealand, and Badger thought she was great. Albert said, you really like her, don't you? Sella didn't let Martha answer. Look, she's amazing. That's why Martha likes her, and that's why we can't. I'm sorry, Martha. Look at what's coming. It can only be a few months at most. The weather, the black mold, the war in the South China Sea. The thing is coming, and it's not going to wait for long. Martha thought, how have I gotten myself into this situation again? Denial and duty. What I owe to the community is greater than what I myself am allowed. Somehow, after all these years, I've ended up back in a compound. She thought of saying no. She thought of the feeling that first morning, terrified, stiff, and sleepless, knowing with a frightening certainty the touch of sunlight on her face. But she knew she'd already done one terrible secret thing. If the others knew, they would call it all off. So she didn't tell them. Sella said, look, if and when things do go to shit, you can always bring her with you, okay? When the balloon goes up, you can bring her then. We're not going to stop you. But Sella didn't know that Martha had already, in a way, brought Jen with her for the end of days. Martha watched Jen's talks online and her videos. She had each live stream calendared. Meanwhile, she ghosted Jen gently, replied to each message with something less, a smiley face, a thumbs up. She watched her crooked smile and listened to her foul mouth describing a disappointing tent, an overly expensive infection monitor. Martha thought, you don't know that you're already safe. Martha had set up her own Wi-Fi network in her hotel room to deliver a very particular package. One morning, Martha had left the Wi-Fi and the password for Jen, and Jen had connected her devices to it. Knock, knock, Martha's internet had said, and Jen's entire secure system had no reason to let anyone in, except for being human, except for wanting to connect, except for the moment when one hand touches another. That's how anything happens. Come on in, said Jen's secure system. And then, without anyone knowing, Martha had given Jen auger. There is never a good enough reason to trust anyone, except that we can't live without doing it. Martha watched Jen through her screen give this talk and that talk and thought, you're safe. And one day I can explain it all. After the end of the world.